Welcome to Solutions for a Simpler Life. This is Glenda Lehman Irvin with Lehman's on the Square in Kidron, Ohio. We're glad you've joined us. Hello and welcome to this episode of Solutions for a Simpler Life. Glenda Lehman Irvin here with Lehman's, and today we have a beekeeping expert on our podcast. Sarah, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Glenda. Thank you so much for having me on here today. I'm excited to teach your customers a little bit about beekeeping and how to get started and some important lessons that I've learned. My name is Sarah Koblenz. I live in Northeast Ohio. It's about an hour from Lehman's. I love the Lehman's store. I grew up going there as a kid and just really enjoy getting to see all the products that you guys have. My husband and I have three kids. Our oldest is a senior, so we're just learning and dealing with having a senior and letting him go off to school. I've been in beekeeping since 2018. And so this is end of my fifth year going into my sixth year of beekeeping.
So how did you get started with beekeeping?
Well, I've always been interested in beekeeping, mainly because I love honey so much. As a kid, we always had honey at our house. My great-grandma was actually a beekeeper, and it was just fascinating to see her, out with the bees. And then we always had her honey and honeycomb at home growing up. Since she passed away, then I would have to buy store-bought, and it just wasn't ever the same. In 2018, my husband was working for Hartville Hardware, and his coworkers were beekeepers, and they kept saying to us, you guys need to be beekeepers, because I would buy honey off of them. So finally, we were like, we have to do it. There's so many of those things that you think, I would like to do that. And we just had to jump in and we just had to do it. So we ordered our bees, ordered our supplies, and we jumped into it, and we've been enjoying it ever since.
So you literally took the next step on your journey to a simpler life, which is what we encourage all of our customers to do. So you mentioned that the store-bought honey was just not the same as homegrown. I'm assuming homegrown is thicker, tastier, healthier. What are the differences between store-bought and homegrown?
Yeah, there is a difference because your local honey has all the local pollens and stuff from your area, which are good for seasonal allergies. But there's also a lot of enzymes in them that are good, antimicrobial properties. It helps strengthen the immune system. And the store-bought honey, it just doesn't have those properties to it. A lot of the store-bought honey is actually adulterated. Sometimes they add corn syrup, glucose, or even beet syrup to them. It makes it so that they can produce more of it, but it doesn't have actual true pure honey in it. So the store-bought, you probably aren't necessarily getting pure honey. There are stores that carry it, or maybe it might be the expensive one on your shelf at the store. Those are the ones that if you truly want the benefit of pure honey, tend to buy those ones. My advice would be find a local beekeeper, go to your local farmer's market and buy it if you want the health benefits. To be honest, I will buy store-bought honey just for some recipes where it might call for a cup of honey, and I know how much time and effort it takes to get a cup of honey from my bees. So I don't actually want to waste it where I'm not going to taste it or anything, and I'm not necessarily looking for the health benefits. So I will buy store-bought honey for that.
Yeah, that makes sense. You mentioned your great-grandma had honeycomb. What do you do with that? Do you just consume it like candy?
Yeah, you can chew on it. Some people swallow it. I don't. I feel like I just kind of chew on it like gum, and it has just a very good flavor, and it has lots of vitamins and nutrients in it. So a lot of times in stores, you can see the square containers with the honey and the honeycomb in it. Some people like the honeycomb, other people don't. It's usually a little bit more expensive if you buy it with the comb.
Okay, and recipes. When I think of honey, I think of like biscuits or bread. What else do you put honey on or in at your house?
Yeah, well, biscuits, yes, definitely number one. My homemade bread, we love to put butter on it, especially when the bread is still warm, and then we drizzle honey over it. But I also make granola bars and power balls, and we will add it to that. I have some recipes for pork chops and things that call for honey, and that's the one where I will use the store-bought for that and save the good honey for when we can taste it.
Sure, sure. When does the beekeeping season start and why? I assume it's in the spring?
Well, it's actually year-round because you do need to tend to your bees year-round. But if you are going to be getting into beekeeping, you really want to start planning in January and getting your supplies ordered in January. And please remember, everything that I'm saying, this is for our climate. This is for Northeast Ohio. If you're listening from a different state and a different hemisphere, it's going to be different. So you just need to figure out the beekeeping season for your area. So for our area, you would order your supplies in January. You even order your bees in January. And they come in about April or May. And that's really when the season starts. So you have to start checking them, feeding them, taking care of them as soon as you get them in the spring. And then it mainly goes through October. There's a lot of things that you have to get done during that time. Then October, you kind of tuck them in for the winter, and you do things throughout the winter. I was just in my hives today. It's about 50 degrees here. And I just went down to clean out some of the dead bees that are collecting at the front entrance, to clean that out and just make sure that they're all still alive. I can put my ear up to the side of the boxes, and you can tap on it. And if you hear a quick buzz, that means they're all in there and they're healthy and good, because you don't want to open the boxes up during the winter because they're trying to stay warm and conserve energy.
What do they do in the winter? Do they hibernate, or when they're not producing honey, what do they do?
Yeah, during the winter, it's basically survival mode. They will cluster around the queen. So the queen is in the very center, and they cluster around her to keep her warm. She's not really laying eggs in the winter. It's just survival mode. And what they do is they kind of work their way around the honey frames and eat that throughout the wintertime. And when it's nice out, I would say if it gets 50 to 55, they will be outside flying, and just to basically go to the bathroom. They don't go to the bathroom in their hives.
Okay. So they live in the hive, but they do go out, but then they come back. They know that that's their home?
Yes. They go right back into their home. They don't fly too far. They know that there's not nectar or pollen out this time of year. And so they will stay close.
But in the summer, they will go farther collecting the pollen and the nectar?
Yeah, they can go up to 2 miles away. My parents actually live, I'd say about a mile from us. And they have a great big garden. And they have said ever since we've got our bees, and I have a couple neighbors that have them now as well, that their garden, their blueberries, their fruit trees have done so well. And I do think it's from my bees. I'll like to claim that.
Yes, I think you should. Do they travel in a hive, in a pack, or do they all go their own direction?
They all go their own direction, but bees are fascinating and extremely intelligent. They can tell the other bees where the nectar and pollen is at. They will do this little like wiggle waddle dance in front of the other bees, and then they'll do this figure eight pattern and then wiggle in the direction that the fresh pollen and nectar is at. And the better the flow of the pollen and nectar, the faster the bee will actually move. So they're actually communicating by the way that they're moving, and they're sending the bees out in the right direction to go.
Oh, that's fascinating. Now, I think there's 3 categories. You've got the queen, and then you've got the drones, and then you've got the worker bees. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's right. So the queen, she is the head of the hive. Without the queen, you have no hive. It will deteriorate and it will die off. You have to have a queen. She is in charge of laying the eggs, and she can lay up to 1,000 eggs per day. And typically, a queen will last 1 to 2 years. And when you check your hives during the main seasons, the spring, summer, and early fall, you want to be checking to make sure that she's laying her eggs. And you can check that by when you pick up a frame of from out of the hive, inside the little honeycomb, you can see it looks like a little piece of rice, and that's her egg down there. So as long as you're seeing eggs, you're seeing larvae, and it's in a good cluster in the center of your frame, you know you have a good laying queen. If you don't have a queen, or if she's not a good layer, you might want to, well, if you don't have a queen, you need to make sure you get a new one, which you can buy. And if she's not laying and producing well, then you might want to pinch her off and get a new one and introduce a new queen.
And then what do the workers and the drones do?
Yeah, the drones, the only thing that they do is mate with the queen. That's the only thing. And you can tell a lot about a hive by the number of drones there are or drone cells on the frame. When they are getting ready to swarm, they will produce more drones, and you will see a lot of drones at the entrance of your hive. So if you see that, you need to try to do something to prevent them from swarming. Then there are the worker bees. Those bees are in charge of everything else. They gather the nectar. They guard the hive. They care for the queen. They care for the larva. They do the cleaning inside of the hive, and they're the ones that produce the honey.
So the queen doesn't leave the hive, right?
Well, she typically stays in the hive, but if your hive is going to swarm, the queen will leave the hive and go start a new hive.
I've heard of people smoking bees. Is that how you would prevent a swarm, or is that kind of a myth?
You don't use smoking to prevent them from swarming. To prevent them from swarming, you can do a split. That's what I have done, where I will take frames out of the hive that's too big, and I will put them into a new box, into a new hive. I'll usually take out about four, and I make sure that there are those eggs in there and there's the larva in there. And then once I take them out and put them into a different hive, they will start feeding that larva a royal jelly is what it's called, and they will produce their own queen. The queen always eats the royal jelly, and that's what she'll eat for the rest of her life. So they will produce their own queen in that hive. That can prevent swarming. It is very difficult to do. The very first year that I had bees, mine swarmed on the 4th of July, which we have a big 4th of July party because you can see fireworks from our house. And I was so nervous. I didn't know what to do because I was new at beekeeping. I thought that my bees were gone completely. Here I find out that swarming is a natural process. They are supposed to reproduce, divide, and start new hives. That's their job. And so it was actually a healthy hive that had swarmed. So what I try to prevent them from swarming, because then I can, you know, I make sure that I have all my bees then and they don't leave and go somewhere else, because they'll find somewhere out in the wild to form their hive. And I have collected swarms over the years. It's a good way to get bees. They're free to get bees that way. But back to your original question, sorry, about the smoking of the bees. The smoking of the bees is actually when you get into your hive to do an inspection, which you should do at least once a week during the main season. And you want to smoke the bees because it interferes with their communication. Because as soon as you pop that hive open, it alerts the bees and they start to get a little bit anxious, and they are automatically triggered, like danger, danger, and they will start communicating that between all the bees. If you smoke them, then that communication is disrupted and they will just kind of go about their business and you can inspect the hive then.
Interesting. I think it's fascinating too that there is a queen but no king.
Right, right. Yep, only a queen.
So where do you buy your bees? Are there probably websites online, or do you go locally, or where's a good place to purchase bees?
Yeah, you can buy them online. They will ship them all over the USA. So wherever you're from, I would just Google local bees to buy, or, you know, where can I buy bees in my area? I have a wonderful place that I buy bees from. It's about an hour from me. They will even ship them in the mail. And the very first package of bees is what it's called. It's a package. It's 3 pounds of bees along with the queen. I got it from Georgia, and I live in Ohio. They shipped it up here. I got to go pick it up at our local post office. And I'm just very lucky because in the town that I live in, there is a gentleman that sells bees. He probably has 200 hives. And so I can actually buy them from him, which is good because you want bees that are from the same climate that you are. If you are in Northeast Ohio like I am, it's better to get them from a climate that has gone through a winter and that they're just better fit for our climate.
Sure, that makes sense. They're used to the temperature changes and that sort of thing. Yeah. I'm sure our listeners are wondering, do you get stung often? Is that a concern?
Well, you do get stung sometimes. It's not a lot. I try to prevent getting stung all that I can because I do have a slight reaction to bee stings. So I always wear a bee suit. I tell everybody if they're getting into beekeeping, wear a bee suit. You see all kinds of TikTok videos or YouTube videos where these people are just super calm, picking up the bees. Yeah, that's not real in what I have experienced. I like to wear long pants, and I actually even wear a long sleeve shirt and my bee suit over that. Sometimes in the summer it is so hot, but it does protect me. I even wear boots and wear my gloves all the time. And okay, also good. Layman's carries a wonderful product. It's called Sting Kill. I don't know if you have tried it or have ever had to use it, but it really works. So I've gotten stung and I bust that thing open and it takes away the pain and the itching so fast.
Oh, good, good. Now, this type of bee, if they do sting you, is that the end for them? Do they die after they sting?
Yeah.
Or is that a different kind of bee?
No, they do die. Yeah, a lot of times the stinger will be left in you and it pulls apart from the body of the bee and they will eventually die off then because of it.
Do you think beekeeping is a good hobby for children, maybe older children? Do your kids help out?
Yeah, kids can definitely help out. It is so interesting to watch them and then to get into the hive. And then during the end of the season when you're harvesting, it's so rewarding then that they get to taste it. They can see all the work that was put into the bees and all the work that the bees have done to produce that honey. I would definitely make sure that there's a bee suit for your child. But, I mean, they could start at an early age. My daughter is probably the only one that's, you know, that likes to go get into the bees with me. Last year, I was catching a swarm and she was right there alongside of me and she did get a little bit nervous, but she did great.
Yeah. Now, do you harvest honey regularly through the season or is it an end of season thing? And do you have any data on like how many bees produce how much honey?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's different ways that you can do this. Some people will just keep all their honey for the very end of the season and they collect it all at once. They harvested it all at once. So it kind of goes into a big pot together and you get the same tasting honey. I like to collect it in the springtime. Oh, I will say this. If you can overwinter your bees and you don't have to order them, like I have 5 hives that are coming out of winter right now. So I will have springtime honey then. If I didn't have them and I'm ordering them, they're not going to arrive until April or May. I'm not going to get any spring honey. So mm-hmm. I'm expecting a good harvest in the spring. The springtime honey tastes so different than the other honeys. And the color is different. Mine's very light because of where we're at and the pollen and the nectar that's around. Then what I will do is, at the end of July, beginning of August, I will collect the summer honey, which has a darker tint to it. There's something called a dearth in August in our area that there is no pollen or for them to collect. So it's called a dearth, where they kind of get basically hangry and they're a little bit mean. They're not making honey because there's nothing to make it with. So you usually pull the honey before that time hits, and then you'll spin your frames, get your honey, then you can put them back on. And for Northeast Ohio, we have a huge season in the fall with goldenrod. That is their really, that's how they store up a lot for winter. The thing is like this last fall, we didn't have a lot of rain, so we didn't get a lot of goldenrod. So I barely had any honey in the fall. So yeah, you could do spring, summer, and fall. And it's really helpful if you do have seasonal allergies to be able to get your spring, summer, or fall.
Sure, sure. I've always been fascinated by bees too, and their intelligence and the engineering that goes into the making of the combs. Now, when you harvest the honey, I assume you have to wait till the bees leave?
Yes. Well, you make the bees leave.
Okay.
There are it's something called a bee escape that you can put underneath of the boxes. Maybe I should explain that. So there are different boxes. So the bottom boxes, and you want to leave two bottom boxes full of honey in their stores for them. But then above that, sometimes you'll see like maybe six boxes high, seven boxes high. Anything above those two boxes is your honey to take. And so what I will do is place my bee escape underneath of the box of my honey that I want to pull. And what happens, it's like a little maze, and the bees can go through it, but they can't get back up to it. So when they're working in that top box, then they'll go down to go collect more nectar and pollen. Then they can't get back up. So within 24 hours, I have to take it off, and that box is basically empty of bees. So that's one way you can do it. Then I quickly put it into a container, like a big Rubbermaid container, and take it to my garage, get it away from them. You can also brush them off with a brush. There are other products, which I haven't tried, and I am interested in learning more about, where you can spray the top of the box and then put the lid back on, and the bees don't like the smell of it, so they'll all go to the bottom, and then you can just take the box right off because there's no bees in it.
So when you harvest the honey, do you have to, boil it or clean it or do anything, or is it ready to consume as soon as it's harvested?
You can consume it as soon as it's harvested. I would stay away from boiling it because then it will lose a lot of its nutritional value and its healthy properties. To harvest it, I basically take my frames, I cut off the wax cappings. And the bees will cover the honey. It's called a wax capping. When the honey is ready, there's a certain moisture content that honey needs to be. It needs to be about 18% or below. That way it can last basically forever. If it's a higher moisture content, it can ferment and get a little rancid. So you can test your honey to make sure it's the right moisture content. But if it has a wax capping on it, the bees knew it was ready, it's ready. So you cut those wax cappings off, and then I have an extractor where it basically spins the frames, and then the honey comes out the bottom. Then I do put mine through a mesh strainer to get out all the little wax cappings that still went through the spinner. And then you can bottle it from there. I usually wait about 24 hours because there's bubbles and air in it, and that bubbles will rise to the top, and then you'll pour from the bottom. That way you're getting just pure, beautiful honey.
Yeah, I've read someplace but pure honey never expires. And so it's a good idea to always have some on hand.
Yes, that is correct. And it's because of that moisture content that it doesn't expire. And also because the enzymes that are in there.
Right, right. Okay, what are some tips for beginning beekeepers? I'm assuming they wouldn't want to start out with as many as you have now. Do you suggest like one box and four frames, or what's a good starter?
So I do have advice. Yeah, I have a couple of things that I'd like to say to the listeners. One would be, don't start out with a ton. You would be so overwhelmed. I would start off with two hives, actually. If you have one, you're always kind of questioning, like, is this right? Is this normally how bees act? If you have two hives, you can compare them. And you can say, this one's doing this. Well, so is this one. So, you know, that's probably normal. Also, an advantage of having two hives is if you do check and you don't have a queen in your one hive, and you notice there's no eggs or anything for the worker bees to make a new queen out of, you can actually take frames of eggs from your other healthy hive and put them into your hive that's not as healthy, and they will raise those eggs to make a queen and get going on their own. So it's kind of nice. You can go back and forth between the two of them. My number one piece of advice would be to find a bee mentor. You will have so many questions. You know, I'm going into year six. I have so much more to learn, and I'm always having questions. I've really been lucky that I have people in my life that I can ask. You know, those workers from Hartville Hardware, my neighbors are doing bees. We're always sending each other pictures. You can also learn a ton from YouTube videos, different magazines. I even sign up for newsletters from different websites that produce bees and sell bee equipment. They always put out monthly newsletters, so you can go on there and sign up to learn about that. Also, your area should have a beekeepers association. So I'm part of the Stark County Beekeepers Association, and they are a wealth of knowledge. And also, actually, Facebook. I am part of, I think, three or four different Facebook groups. Like, one's Northeast Ohio Beekeeping. And I like getting on there because I can see what pollen is going on in our area for the moment. Or they're saying, hey, mine are out flying. Are yours? It's just nice that a group of people in your area are on social media and you can kind of, you know, learn from them or get advice from them.
Oh, that is wonderful. I suppose, you know, back in the day of our great grandparents, you talk to relatives and people at church, and it's kind of the same thing, except it's via, you know, technology and the internet. So yeah. We often see that people use high tech to complete their low tech tasks. Yes. So wonderful. Well, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that Layman's has lots of beekeeping supplies in our store on the square in Kidron, where we're open every day except Sunday, and we're always open at laymans.com. Thank you so much, Sarah. This has been fascinating for me and for our listeners. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And along with your products that you have, I did want to mention, I love your boxes and your frames, and you can buy a whole hive of it. They're Amish made, and I think that I talked to your buyer, actually, and he said it's like an hour and a half from your store. There's an Amish gentleman that makes them, but I bought some, and the quality of them is so much better than some of the ones that I bought at other places, because you'll get into your hives, and some of the frames will actually bust because they're not good quality, but yours are really good quality, so please keep carrying them.
Oh, good, good, good to know. All right, thanks again and happy beekeeping.
All right, thank you, Glenda.
This is Glenda Lehman Irvin with Layman's, where we stand for a simpler life. Thanks for listening. For more, visit laymans.com.